Our next guest is Edgar Penzig, a historian of bushranging. Edgar's an amateur who's pursued the subject with passion through almost 30 books. He's given talks to hundreds of organisations around Australia over many years. In fact, Edgar's done more than almost anyone to keep the subject of colonial history alive. Now, a few months ago, he gave a talk to the Friends of Launceston Public Library. His subject was a comparison of America's Wild West with our own. And I'm delighted to say Australia comes out on top. Here's an extract from that talk.
Now, everyone in this room, because of your age, young or old, you've all heard the American Wild West. But how many realise that here in our own country, we had a cultural history characterised by a richness of incidents unsurpassed in the whole annals of the American West? But unfortunately, the population of our country, especially our children, they're continually indoctrinated with overseas isms. How often today do we hear people our age criticise our teenagers because we say they no longer have a love for or an understanding of their native country? Well, how in the blazes can they, when all they read, hear and see is a foreign culture from overseas? With facts that we have gleaned through 50 years' study, through the archives of most state libraries, we can prove to you what a wild and woolly time we had in our own country. Now, those of you with television, you've probably all heard of the leading town in the whole history of America's Wild West, Dodge City. In 1884, it consisted of 14,000 people and 40 hotels. Sizable town, you'll agree. But in 1861, at Lamming Flat, which is now the town of Young, there were 16,000 European miners, 6,000 Chinese diggers, and 104 licensed pubs. There was also brothels, gambling casinos, billiard saloons, restaurants, theatres, where the leading classical and vaudeville stars of the whole world came for the highest money ever paid to entertainers, which was on the Australian goldfields between the 1850s up till the 1880s. Bathurst had 65 hotels. Gulgong, 18,000 miners and 48 pubs. Hill End, 11,000 miners and 52 licensed pubs. We had over half a dozen towns bigger and wilder than anything in the American Wild West. People say, but the American West, they had villains. Every Australian's heard of their leading criminal, Jesse James, who in 16 years committed 21 hold-ups. What a dastardly villain. So I spent 3 months in the police department, 4 days a week, 9 till 5, writing them down from judges' notebooks, trial depositions, eyewitness accounts. We found that our worst villain was a 23-year-old character by the name of John Gilbert, alias Happy Jack. And when at 8 a.m. on the 13th of May 1865, Gilbert was running across a paddock down near Bynlong, and 22-year-old colonial-born ex-stockman Constable John Bright went pop with his Kalisha and Terry carbine and put a 53-caliber pill straight through the young murderer's heart. And when Gilbert fell dead as a doornail into the dry Bynlong Creek bed, in 3 1/4 years, he'd committed a lousy 630 hold-ups. Including that was over 50 mail coaches and the whole townships of New Brigham, Binder and Canoundra. No American outlaw equaled this. Ben Hall did 610. Thunderbolt, about 300. Morgan, 200. Not condoning the crime, but as my American historian friends have said to me, good heavens, when are you Aussies going to make these into feature films or TV shows? Your villains made ours look like Sunday school teachers. Well, it's true, isn't it? Not condoning it, but this is how it was. We've never done it yet. But if ever our film industry or TV industry makes a truly costumed historical bushranging show, I think you'll agree our villains look a lot more spectacular, swaggering across the screen with 6 and 8 large revolvers. Yes. Everyone I find when I lecture in schools, they've all heard of the American Pony Express. Why aren't these children told that The Pony Express started in Australia 22 years before the American one. Mail was carried from Melbourne to Goulburn, put on a coach for Sydney, and reciprocal mail started the journey back. That's right, that early. Kids don't know, teachers don't know. They all know about American ranches. Oh, yeah, they're doing the Big Island, my word. We have the world's largest cattle holdings, the Alexandra River Downs, which is 7,228,000 proper acres. And we have the world's richest alluvial gold fields, the world's largest pure gold nugget, the Welcome Stranger, and the largest quartz gold nugget, the Bayer's Haldimand nugget in 1871, which was over 3 feet high and 2 feet wide, the biggest ever found. And the beautiful thing about being a professional historian, I can use imperial measurements and not be jailed or fined for it. Good heavens. We just had so much here in Australia. We only had about 490,000 people when the goldfields started. That's right. Everywhere, every homestead was armed with 1 to 3 pistols or revolvers, 1 to 3 single or double barrel muzzle loading shotguns. And here's a wonderful illustration I found in the Mitchell Library. 1851, and the artist was visiting his mate's hut in the bush. Single-roomed hut with slab roof. There it is. And he's got his mate sitting at the table. On the wall is a big Scottish dirk and a midshipman's dirk. 2 powder flasks and a powder horn. 5 single-barrel pistols and 4 double-barrel muzzle-loading shotguns. Try and find it in Tasmania, you will. Go to Government House, Parramatta, our original one. You won't see a firearm. There should be a double-barrel fowling piece above every fireplace in Government House, Parramatta. Why was it above the fireplace? Because the heat of the fire kept the black powder dry. People don't realise that the women were armed all in that period, right through to 1900. The most common type of weapon carried by women were small single-shot pistols like these. Of course, the big copious pockets of the crinoline, they were about 18 inches deep. That's where they carried it. And they had a powder flask which was made of copper and brass. Copper and brass for a reason. If it was accidentally struck against iron or steel, it didn't create a spark, so she didn't have a lethal hand grenade in a handbag. Women played a big part. It just annoyed me for years that women had been left out of colonial history. That's why in 88 I wrote one book called Parasols and Pistols. There's not a man in the book. It is the dress, artifacts, weapons and stories of colonial women. And there's hundreds of hour, half-hour TV shows and feature films that we could do on the colonial women.
So there you go, Australia. Take up the challenge. That's Edgar Penzic, author of many books on Australia's bush ranging and colonial past. And he was talking to the Friends of the Launceston Public Library a few months back. And we are grateful to Edgar and to the library for permission to run that extract.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.